Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
We are live on this Monday, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. You're more than welcome to join us and call in. By popular request, we're about to talk to Phil Berg. In expectation of this conversation, I had, count them, 3 hours of Phil Berg on the replay since Sunday morning. So 2008, 2009, 2010, and that's the last time we talked to Phil. And thanks to many of you rattling my cage, I thought it's absolutely time for an update. So Phil, welcome.
My pleasure. How are you? Happy Happy Labor Day or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Though how happy it is for labor, I don't know. Just before the show started, did you see where 40,000 members of the AFL-CIO, all of the longshoremen, quit the AFL-CIO because of their support of Obamacare?
I just heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this Obamacare is a nightmare. I mean, you know, there's so many people exempt. I mean, about a month ago, or during the past month, the president exempted the White House, exempted executive branch, exempted the House and Senate right from Obamacare. So you know, here we go again.
Well,
how good is it if they don't want it?
Well, not only that, as you well know, the only way they managed to get it passed was to specifically have a section in it that said Congress and others would, in fact, be part of this plan. So what we have here, as you know too well, is Obama unilaterally changing legislation, which is why it's no surprise in his speech today that he would seek congressional approval. He added, but I don't need it. for Syria. But let's back up, because I know, and I will, if you don't mind, subject you to callers as well, because I know there are some folks who want to talk with you. But going back to 2010, when we last talked, it looked like the issue of Obama's citizenship, which is really more than that. It's an issue of whether our chief in the White House is, in fact, a criminal by all statutes. I mean, the false Social Security alone would make him a felon. But at that time, when we last talked, you were pretty hopeful that eventually you would have standing, so to speak, or that some of your actions would, in fact, make it. And I'm curious, what's happened since then?
Well, it has not happened. I mean, I filed 5 lawsuits against Obama. I went to the U.S. Supreme Court 4 times for injunctions, and, you know, the courts would not give us standing. And there's been probably another 50 to 100 other lawsuits around the country. It's outrageous. They're basically saying, the judge in my case, and everyone followed suit, the judge in my case said that you have no right to standing. Perhaps in the future, Congress will decide who would have standing to sue. I mean, it's ridiculous. Obama, you know, I think the media let us down. I think the Congress has let us down. There's no question in my mind that Obama is a phony, a fraud, an imposter. He does not belong in that office. And to people that argue with me, I say, well, let me go on one basic thing here. Let me just ask you this. Why, then, has Obama sealed all his records?
Oh, I know.
If he didn't, you know, if he doesn't have something to hide, I'm sure, and I think the first person to say a lot of these things regarding Obama, I'm sure if you saw his college records, you'd see that he applied for and received foreign aid.
Right, at Occidental.
Either from, either from at Occidental and probably at Columbia.
If he was there. Now, they can't find anybody. Of course, Wayne Allen Root is the most obvious because he ran as a libertarian, but they can't find anybody, professor or student, who remembers seeing him.
Yeah, and he would be someone I believe would be noticeable, but, I mean, the foreign aid would come either from Africa, where I'm sure he was born, or Indonesia, where he was adopted. And the Indonesia is very significant because his name there became Barry Sotoro. His nationality became Indonesia, and religion came Islam, which is Muslim. And I'm sure that's where we are in the Middle East crisis right now, because when Obama first got into office, he went to the Middle East, he bypassed Israel, and went and spoke to all the Muslims to try to get them together. I think he's a Muslim, and I don't care what he is, but defend our country first. Our country should be first, and it's not first in his mind. And then the latest thing, I mean, we can go over from Obamacare to Benzaki, which is the horrible, but even the present thing with Syria. I mean, he has no foreign policy. By the actions by him and the Secretary of State in the past few days, he looks like a total fool to the rest of the world.
You're right on all those counts. What I should mention for folks who don't know you, Phil, is that you were a lifelong Democrat and a Philadelphia lawyer. So you certainly knew the law and you knew the Democratic Party. So when you brought this up initially, it wasn't as if you had an axe to grind because you were a Republican. And that, to me, when we first talked, gave you credibility for why you were talking about this. But as a lawyer and of quite standing, by the way, you know, many cases, certainly you know your ins and outs of the federal and the state system, to continually hear that you don't have standing, then to read cases with people like Alan West who ran against him and others who didn't have standing, it seems that no one could possibly have standing in this.
Oh, that was according to my judge, the first judge on the case. And like I say, he actually said in his opinion, perhaps in the future, Congress would decide who would have standing to sue regarding the status of a president.
Which is
how absurd is that?
Well,
What's
really frightening about that is the precedent, because you can draw a line extension and claim nobody has standing in anything if Congress
right.
has to approve it. Standing should be prima facie. Can you prove you were harmed? And even if someone wanted to claim you or I couldn't, certainly someone running in that election could claim that.
Right, right, and it's just ridiculous. And even the Supreme Court just not wanting to take these cases. I mean, you know, it's like they decided back about 2006 they wanted to have a black president, and I'm not racial. You know, I'm a lifetime, aside from being a Democrat, I'm a lifetime member of the NAACP, so I have no axe to grind. And but they just decided, if everyone remembers back to Sarah Palin when she was nominated, what did all the reporters do? They all ran to Alaska. They looked behind every door and every stone, and they grilled her about everything and anything. What did they do in comparison to Obama? Nothing. I believe if they did 10% to Obama what they did to Palin, he never would have been nominated. But they just kept him a free ride, and they're still giving him a free ride. I mean, there's a little shaking. This in Newsweek magazine about 3 months ago came out with something really against Obama. Finally, there was an editorial in there, and you know, more and more people. This Obamacare is a nightmare. I mean, you know, everyone says, "Oh, you're picking on him." I say, "Yeah, I'm picking on him." How about the IRS? How about the Associated Press? How about Benzaki? I mean, there's so many things going on. And he has the gall to go out and speak around the country and say these are phony,
right.
phony scandals.
Well, sure, he's going to play it any way that he can. And, of course, what emboldens him is, I'm sure on some level, he's got to be stunned he's gotten away with this. Now, my theory all along had been they're useful idiots. And one of the things about Obama is anytime anyone tries to say something against him politically, immediately they're called a racist. It's very convenient
right.
that no one can question him politically without this happening. Now, as you well know, Hillary, like her, hate her, whatever, she, without a doubt, won New Hampshire. And I think she won Iowa, too. And this was orchestrated for Obama. And I can't believe that he and his Chicago cronies alone had the clout to do that. So I think it's a bigger picture. And I'm sure that's not lost on you. Who do you think is behind this?
Oh, I think a George Soros, something like that. You know, he's the multi-billionaire, mm-hmm. I think. And some other people like that. You know, money controls. It's really not the leadership. It's the money, what they want to do. And it's sad that the American public doesn't see this and, you know, realize that when this stuff goes on without questioning, and when the court's not allowing us to question, or the media not even questioning, it hurts us in the future. And even right now, I mean, this is a prime example of what's going on with Syria. I mean, with Syria right now, sort of Obama has boxed himself in the corner with a red line. Well, the red line was done, I think, 6 months ago or something. And he said, well, we got to check it. So this time they have 1,400 bodies. So they're definitely saying, but England's backing off, and everyone's saying, what are we going to do there? He keeps going, there's going to be no troops on the ground, and the only thing we can do is a strike. So he's given them time to move all their good. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on right now.
I think one of the things that's also happened is the internet. There's a lot of pictorial proof that it was the Muslim Brotherhood and not the official leadership, Assad, who perpetrated this. I think there's a lot of things that are coming out that make you think that he wants to go bad enough that there'll be another false flag.
Yeah, no, you're very right on this. I mean, until it really happens, until we see the ramifications of it. But just his credibility has been lost around the world right now on this recent thing. And as far as I'm concerned,
well, of course,
he lost his credibility with me in 2008. But go ahead.
Right, but you cannot publicly, and I think this is your point on this, make a statement to the world that here's my line in the sand, and then when it happens, back away from it. He should have never said it to begin with, but once he did, he was locked into a very bad position. I truly think that he believed that he would have pulled this off, that he would have support behind him.
Yeah, perhaps, but he waited too long also, and now he's going to wait till Congress comes back on the 9th. I mean, they're laughing at him. I mean, and in a way, he has to do something. If not, he's giving the green light for them to do more, Iran to do more. So he sort of boxed himself in the corner. I mean, I'm not sure the best answer, but since he spoke like this, he has to do something. If not, it's going to be, the Middle East can go really bad.
Well, it's going to go really bad. There's no doubt in my mind about that. He is in a lose-lose position here. With 9% approval rating, with all the things that are coming out about what's going on there, he goes in there. It's worse for him approval-wise. On the other hand, to the international community, he says, here's my saber, I've rattled it, and then he says, oh, well, maybe not. You don't recover from that well either. And, you know, there's a number of takes on why or what, but in the bottom analysis is he can't win either way at this point. And there again, I think that someone is rattling his cage. And you mentioned George Soros, which is a great one to bring up, because what is one of the things that Iran, which of course is Shia, much like the Hamas leadership, not Hamas, but the Assad regime is Shia, what are they talking about? They're talking about going off the dollar and going to gold for oil reserves. So Soros would blanch at the thought of that. So there again,
right,
we're back to money. It's horrifying, but more horrifying when the public knows. And while I realize there are some who are just going to be lockstep with the mentality of, oh, you birthers are all crazy or what have you, or he's our elected leader and everything he says is the truth, I think the majority of the people, when put to the wall, know darn well, they may not know what, and I don't think any of us know without a doubt what, but they know that something is up. That's not a real birth certificate. There's no doubt. If you or I did that to try and get our kid into Little League, we'd be, you know, laughed out of the game. We could theoretically go to jail for the Social Security violations, and the majority of people, I think, are waking up to that, which means how do you believe anything coming out of this man's mouth?
Well, that's true. I mean, you really can't, and it's really a disaster. You know, like which thing's worse right now? Like you even mentioned Obamacare.
Yes.
Obamacare is a nightmare. I loved it. The best line was, Nancy Pelosi said, listen, we have to pass this so we can read it and see what it's all about.
Right. And, you know, I mean, isn't that the truth? I think some of them now, while they were shaking their heads behind Nancy, now that some of them have read it, I think there's dread even within their own party about what's in this.
Oh, yeah. There's Democrats bailing out on it. There's Republicans bailing out on it. But more than anything, I mean, like you have certain people, he's exempted this union or that union. I mean, there's so many people exempt from the whole thing, and no one's sure how what's going to happen. But realize one thing, they took $600 billion out of Medicare to fund this thing. What's happening with Medicare? Well, my mom had a copay of $5 last year, and this year was $50.
Right.
Because if you take $600 billion out, the benefits have to drop, or the benefits drop and the rates have to go up. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous, and I don't know what's going to take. I mean, more and more people now are saying, hey, remember Obama said I could keep my physician, and then the rates wouldn't go up. Well, now they're finding out they can keep their physician, and the rates are going up even before Obamacare is fully implemented.
Well, and the biggest one that the press really isn't playing up correctly is that most individuals who do not have insurance through an employer or a group, most of them, particularly those who are 50-plus, have the catastrophic plans, the things that will cover hospitalization, but the deductible is going to be $10,000, and therefore they can keep the premium at a reasonable $100 to $200 per person, period. Those policies are now outlawed unless you're under 30 years old. So somebody who was paying $150 before is going to get his bill, and it's $750 now, and they can't do it.
Right, and how about, you know, like they say that youngsters can stay on their parents' policy to 26, but they're not telling you how much that's costing.
Right.
They're saying we're going to cover these 30 or 40 million extra people, but no one's saying how much that's going to cost. So, I mean, it's just a horrible thing by the people that are bailing out on it right now.
Well, and then you get to so many facets of this. We could go on all night about what's wrong with this. But the exchanges that they've set up, they're using community activists to staff them who are not going to have background checks or fingerprinting checks. They're going to have access to every piece of data on you, from your Social Security and credit records to your medical records to everything else. You tell me that's not identity theft waiting.
Oh, it really is, and it's a nightmare. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for it to fall completely, but notice what the White House keeps doing. They keep pushing off certain parts of that
right. Because
they know it's going to be detrimental. And I don't know, and that's going to be his claim to fame, Obamacare?
Right. And my fear, of course, is that ultimately his only solution is going to be, well, we've got to get everybody on a single payer. And that will, you talk about seniors and things like that, that will end medical care as we know it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now we're heading to a nightmare on this thing. And everything, as far as I'm concerned, everything he's touching has turned sour.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me something good that he's done.
You know, that's a good point, and I've raised that before. I'll take calls from anybody who can name anything that he has done program-wise to improve our lot in life, or even our liberty, if you will. Charles wants to ask a question. That okay with you?
Sure.
All right, Charles, welcome.
All right, how you doing? Phil, nice to hear you. Got three real fast shots. The first thing is I think they're going to use this war and rumors of war as a way to get through to October without defunding. This is a diversion. They're making the best of a disaster and using a chaos to do their point, because if Obamacare goes through, it's going to be a way to lower everybody's value and wages, in a sense, if you really look at it, because your employer's not paying for your insurance. You are, and then therefore you make a whole lot less money. And then it's going to be a boon for the government when we go single payer. Look at all that extra, the billions, trillions of dollars they're going to get money-wise, and then we're not going to get any care. Well, the next thing is about the birth certificate. When I was looking at it, when it first was put online, I looked through it, and at the time I had two real weird different vision things because of an eye problem that I had surgery on later. And I I could see defects that it was like polarized glasses. I could see defects on anything, a scratch on a car and things that people wouldn't see, and then they'd get up close and find it. Well, what I saw on the birth certificate just blew me away, and I tried to tell people, nobody would listen. There were three or four different letters that were corrected with a Selectric tape, you know, with corrector tape on the typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
They had Selectric that did that. That did not become available till 1974.
Right, and he was born in 1961.
Right,
so,
yeah,
right,
good point. Exactly.
And because you have a halo around
right.
any letter, you know that because yeah. you've used them before, Raleigh.
Oh, yes.
You get a halo around a letter. That it might you might have the correct letter there, but there's a halo where the other letter was eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Or gone over. That was not released till then. There are that proves that bits and pieces of the letters are from different years. And they just plugged in
yeah.
this and that and pulled this and that, everything that was appropriate. And font, they would go through and find font. But it was, I think, too, about the birth certificate, Donald Trump is working with Obama.
Oh,
that was a rope-a-dope. That was a perfect rope-a-dope
no,
to say, I want it, Oh, that's okay. You know, he
all
did
right.
it and just backed down
so
like
what,
that.
What do you think, Phil? Wait a minute. What do you think of that, Phil?
Well, I was just thinking that. Donald Trump, if you recall, you know, put pressure on.
Right.
And on April 27th, 2011, is when Trump was saying he really demanded that. And then all of a sudden that night, Obama shows up in the press room with his birth certificate.
Right.
And for whatever reason, Trump stopped at that point. The birth certificate that they produced that night had more holes than Swiss cheese.
No, you're right.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm. and no one looked at it. Everyone
right.
said, okay, fine. And then for whatever reason, and you could be right on that, Trump backed off. Now, Trump, I was feeding a lot of information to Trump, so I think a lot he had. Even this past year, I said something on the, I sent out a press release saying that we should raise $2 million and give it to the person that can have the that has the documentation, because I know people have it, has the documentation with the, that would prove that he's a fraud, a phony. And then 2 weeks later, or 3 weeks later, Trump comes out with, well, if Obama shows us his school records and one other thing, birth certificate,
yeah.
I will give him, I will give $5 million to the charity of his choice. So I think he took that from me, really, but change it, because what's that do? That doesn't do anything. But if he would take that $5 million and give it up for a, for the evidence to prove he's a fraud, I think someone would come forth with it. I
well,
really do.
You know, it's interesting, because I think when we look at the cold case posse that's going on with Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona, his folks, Mike Zullo and others, have the goods. There's no doubt that these people have the goods. And so what
right.
happens? Obama says, well, the feds are going to have to oversee your department.
Right.
I tell you where the birth certificates can be found.
Where?
First off, the English are paper nuts. They were over Kenya at the time. If he was born in Kenya, they would log everything. The British, when it was a British colony, if he was born there, it was a British colony. There would be paperwork in England.
Well, we don't.
They will drop the bomb on us at one time. The country that has it, and I know there are countries that has it. The other place is the Mormon Church, because the Mormon Church, the Mormon missionaries,
right.
anywhere they are, part of their thing is to check deaths and births every day in obituaries and birth records in all the newspapers, and to check the courthouses, because that goes back to the genealogy and
right.
records keeping. And they would have information about his birth.
That's a fascinating point, because, and Phil, you're probably aware of this, you used to be able to get all the birth certificates on microfilm. It didn't used to be that hard. And I know certainly in the 30s, 40s, and even into the 50s for sure, you could get that microfilm roll for the year. I know that's true for California, because when I was trying to find my birth mother, that's what I did. I went to someone who was a searcher, and she said, oh, yeah, I've got the microfilms for that year, and I happen to have the certain number, and she looked it up, and sure enough, there was the original cert, not the one I later got when they finalized an adoption. So I never really thought about that, Phil, but are you aware whether Hawaii had that system as well?
We're not sure there, but when he brings up Britain, we had sources trying to check through Britain, through England, but we couldn't get anything. People were trying to check the flight records. People were trying to check the sailboat, the shippers' logs for people, stuff like that. But the main point is, listen, he's a phony. Let's say for a minute, if he was really born in Hawaii, has any doctor, nurse, attendant, or hospital from Hawaii come forth and said he was born here?
No.
Right.
I mean, you would think they would do it. Now, supposedly there's a hospital over in Kenya that has a sign outside, but I'm not sure that's true. But no one in Hawaii has come forth, and there's got to be, at this point, someone still living from that was in on that delivery, and no one has come forth because, you know, wouldn't you want to be associated with that? You know, he would treat you to the White House and everything else, but no one's come forth, which is significant.
It's theoretically possible he was born there, but not under the name of Barack Obama.
No, where? He was born in Hawaii? Yeah. There's no way he was born in Hawaii.
What I'm thinking is, if it's true, those who think that Frank Marshall Davis was the father and things of this nature, the Barack Obama construct could have come later.
Well, what I think is, it doesn't really matter. Let's say he was born in Hawaii.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No, but then he loses that when he's adopted in Indonesia.
Well, okay? And when he doesn't renounce it later, because he traveled on an Indonesian passport later.
Believe, I don't have documentation. I always said he did. I'm not sure if there's real documentation. But he went to Pakistan when he was 21. Now, what did he do first? He was 20 or 21. He stopped in Indonesia, and I think to renew his Indonesia passport.
Well, we know he couldn't have traveled to Pakistan on a U.S. passport during those years, so it had to be from another nation.
Right, and for your listeners out there, Pakistan was banned for U.S. travel during that time, but he went there, but he stopped in Indonesia with one or two friends and someplace else, and then the question comes up, where did he get the money to do all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, there are so many questions, and of course, that's what undermines our entire system. More than any other thing, the greater picture here is that America used to have an innocence unlike anywhere else in the world, just like it had a vibrant middle class. And where we are now is that people distrust their government, and rightfully so, because it's so obvious that what we're being told can't possibly be accurate. Now, you had another point, Charles?
Well, one thing, I think the searchers, I never thought about that aspect. I think somebody should get a hold of some searchers and find out if they have the microfilm for that time in Hawaii. He would be on there if he was born there.
Risk it. You know, we've heard a lot of lore. Bettina Viviano, for instance, who says that people have been threatened with their life trying to come forth with this.
I think the thing about, if he were born there, Frank Marshall Davis isn't his father.
Okay.
His likely father is Malcolm X.
Oh, my God.
Because Malcolm X was at the school in Washington during the time his mother went to school there. He was doing some lectures there.
Well, the fact that we're even having this discussion tells us that it's vital to America's interest that we know the truth here.
Yes.
So, always good to hear from you, Charles. Thanks.
Nice hearing from you, but that about the typewriter, you need to look at that and let somebody hit that, because you've got a 14-year window of an unavailable technology being on it.
Yeah, that's one of many, unfortunately. Thanks. This is the thing, Phil. I think that just about everybody who is half alert can name half a dozen reasons why the official story won't fly. That to me is more of a danger even moving forward than what we're dealing with in the present.
Right. And my response to anyone who calls me the birther or you're crazy or something like that, I said, just answer one question. Why has Obama sealed all his records?
Yes, especially those college records. Now, we all believe that he was in the foreign student dorm at Occidental, and you don't get in there unless you're a foreign student. So that would be the aid we're talking about. We have no idea what went on at Columbia, if anything. It's also, now, when you really get into the Manchurian candidate is when you start to see Harvard Law. He's head of Harvard Law Review, and he never wrote anything?
Right.
I want that gig. Give me a title and I'll do nothing, because I do nothing better than anybody. All right, now Chris in Las Vegas, welcome.
Hey, your thing about the birth certificate. I remember seeing an article on Rent about a year ago about a local Japanese family. I forget the name. It's like Hasagawa, Arikawa, something like that. They had a baby, and the baby died after birth, but a birth certificate was issued. And there's a hootla on Oahu about that birth certificate number being used on Obama's.
Now, that's interesting.
It just disappeared.
Because we know about the family, the twins and the numerical sequence. That's interesting, especially that would explain why he's out of numerical sequence.
Right, but basically one of the two main people on Oahu who was protecting him, Inouye and Abercrombie, Inouye's dead. So all that leaves is Abercrombie, and Abercrombie's kind of, shaky as far as how much clout he really has. So I'm questioning all that. But as far as school records, have you thought about going back to Punahou?
Well, not the records there, the Occidental College records in Los Angeles, and they say they won't release them.
Right, but the reason I'm saying Punahou is he did grow up in Honolulu, because I grew up in Honolulu. Okay. Punahou goes from elementary school all the way through to high school.
Right.
Okay. It's a private school. Okay. So you got to have the money to come with, you know what I mean, as far as being able to go there. And if they've issued any kind of scholarships or anything like that to him, that would be a matter of record for the school.
I wonder if they'd be willing to release it.
I don't know. See, it's one of those kind of things, because, I mean, it's basically, I don't know how you would call it. It's kind of like a push-button school. You go to the right school, it helps go to the right college, yada, yada.
Of course, yeah. That's the good old boy network in every sense, yes.
So, but I'll bet those records, records are around, I bet they do not show where he was born. You know, I mean...
They probably don't show anything. I would be surprised that they haven't been threatened out of existence. But, Chris, how old are you?
43.
Okay, so this is great. So you grew up in Hawaii around the same time that he was back there, and you have obviously you had friends there as well. You're the perfect age for this, pretty much. A little younger than him, but even so, do you know anybody who ever knew him?
I'm sorry, do I know anybody what?
Anybody who ever knew him, was aware of him?
That's just it. No, I mean, no offense, not to sound racist or anything like this. But being black in Honolulu is like being white in the middle of Africa.
Right.
Okay. You're going to stand out like a sore thumb. I mean, where I went to school, there was only one black guy for 1 year. Even me being white, I was a minority. You could find me in class photos in 2 seconds flat.
Right.
Like, there's, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's one of those kind of things. It would stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, it's the mystery continues. Now, when you talk to your buddies in Hawaii, if you ever do, what is their take on it?
Basically, it's a bunch of BS.
Okay.
it's kind of like the last joke. You know, it's like I remember talking with friends back home when they were first starting to push him in the media, when they did this biography channel thing on him.
Right.
They painted him some poor kid. And then they're like, and he went to Punahou.
Right.
We're all like, what?
Right.
I mean, yeah. It was like, really? Come on.
Yeah, right. Right. Some poor kid, and he went to country day school. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting. So when you talk to, because Hawaii is really the epicenter of this, obviously whoever is registrar of births at the moment has the information of whether he's in there or he's not in there. Does anybody you know want to get to the bottom of this?
That's kind of a catch-22, because, I mean, you have to understand, living on an island is different than living on the mainland.
Of course.
I mean, it's big time, the nail that sticks out the first gets hammered down.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't going to make waves if she in their own backyard.
Got it.
That's just, unfortunately, the reality. You know,
got it.
Your survival depends upon it.
Absolutely.
So,
all right. Well, Chris, thanks for the input. I appreciate the call.
Hope it helps.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks. Yes. You know, that's interesting, Phil, that I think that the people who do know, they're afraid to come forward. And, you know, you read every day things like Michael Hastings, for instance, not that that would be necessarily in any way related to this, but, you know, his car blows up in the middle of Highland Avenue really makes you wonder.
Right, right. You know, people have questioned my safety, and I said, well, I think I'm safe because if something happened to me, it would take the story from the back page to the front page. So I truly think that's what has kept me without getting...
Yeah, you have to keep speaking. I agree with you 100%. Carl in New York is the individual who had suggested we get you back on, so thank you, Carl.
Yeah, and you're welcome. I was looking forward to this. Hastings' car didn't just blow up. It blew up twice, by the way.
Yeah, right, in the middle of the street, too, before it hit anything.
Yeah. Phil, before I get into what I wanted to say, last call was talking about Neil Abercrombie. We know what happened with Neil Abercrombie and his lifelong buddy reporter Mike Evans, right?
Yep.
Mike Evans, Phil, you're aware of that, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Evans actually was on radio talking about how he and Neil Abercrombie had been discussing, Neil Abercrombie's desire to make fools of the birthers, did everything he could to find Obama's birth certificate in Hawaii, and finally confessed to Mike Evans that there was no birth certificate. And that, of course, you know, as soon as the hammer came down, was retracted. But anyway, sure. What I called about was, first of all, I want to apologize to Phil, not for myself so much as for Greater New York Mensa. Phil, I'm the guy who actually more or less begged you to come in and address Greater New York Mensa, and you kindly agreed to do so, and only to find out, I mean, they had no speakers meeting that month rather than allow you to get up and address Greater New York Mensa. Because the vice president of Greater New York Mensa at the time turned out was a big Barney Frank fan.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I remember that invitation, and I readily accepted, and I was going to go, and then you called me back and said they don't want you.
They won't, and I'll tell you what. The last time I had called them with a recommendation, it was the president of Jack McManus, president of the John Birch Society, who came to address Mensa, and they refused to send out the announcements.
What?
Well, they did not send out the announcements anyway until like 2 days before he was there, before he was due to show up. And still, it turned out to be the best attended meeting that Greater New York Mensa had had in ever, maybe. Well, certainly in decades. But they wanted no more of me in that. But anyway, I want to be sure that all your listeners, Raleigh, realize, you know, I feel like I've been on to Obama for a long time. It was Phil Berg who first made me realize that this guy was not only not natural born, he was not a citizen at all. I mean, this is, if this ever does come out, Phil Berg is the father of the birther movement, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, he's the guy who, I mean, he woke me up, and I thought he was crazy in the beginning. You know, I bought into the not natural born, and it didn't really matter to me. I mean, I am also, I guess, not natural born because my father was not an American citizen when I was born. On the one hand, on the other hand, he was a citizen of a country which no longer exists. So what allegiance I'm supposed to have to that country, I don't know. But it was Phil Berg who first made me realize that he was not a citizen at all. And I set out alone to prove him wrong, just for my own personal satisfaction. And how did you even realize so early on, Phil, what this guy was?
Well, what happened was I had been involved with years for certain people, and actually I got a call in the beginning of August 2008, and the person said to me, have you heard these stories about Obama not being natural born and can't be president? And I said, well, I've heard a little bit about it. And they said, no, he definitely is that person. And we decided you're the only person in the country who has brass you-know-what that would sue Obama.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let me check. We checked for myself and my paralegal, checked on things like 24/7 for about 2 weeks, and we came back with enough documentation to prove that we were right on the right course. So I actually filed suit, it was August 21, 2008. It was right before he was nominated in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So we sued him and we sued the Democratic National Committee. I assumed the Democratic National Committee would bring him in and talk to him, say, are you natural born? Because if you're not getting nominated. But we didn't hear anything from the DNC, except a month later when they had to respond to the lawsuit, there was a joint response from the DNC and Obama just denying everything. And that meant the DNC was involved, you know, with him from the very beginning. And they should go to jail. So many people should really be tried and convicted and go to jail. You know, Obama, Howard Dean, who was he was the head of the DNC at the time, the entire senior campaign staff, the entire executive at the White House, all these people know, and they should really be tried, and they should be, you know, those convicted should go to jail,
now,
including
Phil,
Obama and Michelle Obama. I mean, it's, you know, every time you see them smile, they're laughing. They're laughing at all of us in this country because they know they're a fraud. And that's why when he just took his $100 million vacation to Africa, he doesn't care. He does whatever he wants. His wife does whatever they want. The kids do whatever they want. I think he spent $130 million on vacations this year. And the thing I hate about it, you know, he can do what he wants, and other people, I know he did some business there, but the White House is still closed because of, you know, and they don't let high school or any kids going through on the tours, and because of, you know, the cutbacks, and I think it's absurd. But he did that to say, oh, well, if there has to be cutbacks, we'll do it right here at the White House. But yet he trances around, does whatever he wants.
Well, the dog gets its own helicopter, of course. But when you first discovered this, Phil, and I think you're alluding to this, you assumed that, well, once this is shown to the DNC, action will be taken. So when you discovered that, oh, no, it wouldn't, you still were hopeful that the courts would work it out. When did it dawn on you that you didn't have a prayer in hell?
Well, I guess when the first judge ruled against me, because in his opinion, he said no one has standing. And then, but I pursued. I filed actually, you know, five lawsuits. I tried different places. I filed a lawsuit in Washington, D.C. That was significant because what I said there was, I said that when he was a U.S. senator, he was a fraud by, you know, the things that he had done, and therefore all the salary, the money he received and benefits as a U.S. senator should go back to the Treasury. And I had a great case on there, and I sued, but guess who represented Obama at that time? The Department of Justice. Who's the Department of Justice? His Attorney General.
Yeah.
So, and everything, once I filed that suit, you couldn't talk about it because drawing a blank for the name of it for a minute, but it was actually sealed. And then when we had the hearing in Washington, I mean, it's very interesting. We went into court. I'll think the name of it. But we went into court. They closed the doors. They said, "Is everyone here that has to be here?" With no one in the audience, no guests in the courthouse. They actually locked the doors, covered the windows, and they said these proceedings are completely secretive until the vote at the end. At the vote at the end, after I presented my information, they asked the Justice Department, "What do you want to do?" And they said, "Well, we don't want to pursue this. Mr. Burr can't pursue it." I said, "Okay, case dismissed. It's now open. Go talk about it. Unlock the door." I mean, it just was ridiculous.
So,
and I claimed conflict of interest there, but they didn't
course.
Do that.
Of course it was. But, you know, I never really thought to ask you this. You're still a practicing attorney, correct?
Correct.
All right. So,
well, actually, right now, I just actually retired, so I'm not doing that. I'm going to do a radio show or a TV or something soon.
Oh, great. Well, I'll look forward to plugging that for you. But
Me too.
Afterwards, you were practicing law during time.
Oh, yeah,
now,
absolutely.
I can't imagine how you could continue to interact with the system knowing it was fixed to that degree. Once you saw that firsthand, did you start to see other cracks in the system where you said, this is a fixed system?
Oh, I've seen it many times over the years. It's a real shame. I mean, many cases, you can figure out the outcome before you're actually in the lawsuit if you're in certain courts. And it's outrageous. It really is. That's why I guess in about 2009, I had a criminal trial case in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia. We had a jury case, and it shocked the entire courthouse because I won the case. Because usually in a criminal case, you don't win.
Right.
And I had a jury of 12, and we won the case, and I went through like I'm Mr. Super. It's just I pursued it, and I made sure the record was so clean, there was about no way we could lose, and we were successful. But, no, it's very disheartening because, let me go to that case. Even though the jury came back and said not guilty, the judge found him guilty on a summary case of, harassment.
Right.
And there was no reason that he should have done that, but the judge was annoyed. He thought he should be found guilty, and so he threw a summary case of harassment against him, which didn't affect him, but it was just enough to to, you know,
right. No, I
fewer people.
Witnessed that a lot in civil cases as well, depending on the state, where judges will overturn partial jury verdicts because they don't like the way it came out, almost praying for an appeal so that they could overturn the entire thing. The ramifications of what Obama has done will ripple through us really for the remainder of time, because it has loosened again that trust or faith in the government. You can't trust a word that's coming out. Now, for me, the turning point, I always suspected and believed that, you know, the birth certificate was an issue, the school records were an issue, but when it was really proven beyond anybody's doubt that the Social Security number was wrong, I thought, well, they've got them now. And this is something that they would send you or me or Carl, you, to jail for if we did.
Yep.
And the courts ruled that no one, I think it was Orly Tates, you know, who I know how you feel about her, Phil, but who brought this up. And I was stunned that the judge threw it out saying, well, you don't have any right to the records of Social Security. You can't know this number.
Well, the only thing is, that's the only thing I will not say I'm definitely convinced about the Social Security number. That, to me, because the person you mentioned first came out and said he had like 20 different Social Security numbers,
right,
or something like that, and then came down to one. So that's the only thing regarding the Obama that I'm not convinced on.
Well, Susan Daniels was the one who first realized that the Social Security number belonged to Harrison J. Bunnell. I don't think she was working with Tates at the time.
Right, and didn't the draft registration show the number?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. Anyway, I wasn't, Phil, I was never basing my belief on Orly's taking that fourth. But, yeah, Susan Daniels and others who seemed quite credible were very aware that, at the very least, he would have had to have gotten it in Connecticut after he already had begun to work in Hawaii.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's questions about everything this guy has done or hasn't done.
Now,
let me get one more question in, if you would, Raleigh.
All you want.
I think Joe Arpaio and especially Mike Zullo are doing a phenomenal job. I mean, you know, Mike Zullo was a fearless guy, you know, and I applaud him all the way around. But I do wonder how it is that you and he, Phil, are not working closely together at this point. I mean,
I understand
Orly Tate. Believe me, I mean, Zullo feels the same way. I feel the same. You feel the same way. But Zullo's a different kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Every time I go to get together with the sheriff, something has happened. I've actually never talked to him. I mean, and you're right, we should be working together on this, and he does have the truth here. But even with the truth that he has, the media, you know, I mean, the media could change this in a second if the media came up, but they don't.
No, they won't.
I mean, that's why there was a break 2 months ago with Newsweek magazine. I have to pull it, but there was an editorial in there, and it basically said we have a nothing for a president, which is true.
This is the myth of the free press. This is proof right there. Because really, of any of the players here, the only ones that fully disgust me are the press. Because I understand why Obama would lie. I understand why other people would let him get away with it. I don't understand why there's not a modern-day Woodward and Bernstein who would stop it.
Me too.
Yeah, that's the shame. Yeah, I keep saying to someone, write the story up, they would get the Pulitzer Award for
it.
But,
well, no, they'd wind up dead on Highland Avenue.
Well, right. I mean, I was just thinking. I mean, I think Bettina Bibiano told us why, Raleigh.
Right. The death threats are pretty pretty solid there. Now, looking forward, at this point, I hope I'm wrong, but I believe Obama will make it out of office without this coming to light in any substantive proof way where the government will attack this. Do you agree with that, Phil?
Maybe. I'll tell you why. Because with what's going on now, he's now ticking off enough people that someone could come up with. Like right now, Russia and China don't agree with doing anything to Syria. So I know that these leaders haven't. I'm sure Putin has the information on them. You know, it's just, why haven't they released it yet? I mean, if they really want to undercut him, they just come up and say, look, here's his real birth certificate, and he's done. So it depends how, I think it depends what Obama does in the next while.
Well, maybe that is why, you know, you were mentioning before erratic decisions and behavior. Do you think it's possible he's already being threatened?
Oh, it could be. But see, he's boxed himself into a corner on this one.
I know. Now, the other thing I wondered about China, why would China bother exposing the birth certificate when they could just dump our debt on the market and level us that way?
Well, because you don't know what else is going on. I mean, there's so many factors going on.
No, you never know.
First off, we should throw out everyone in Washington. And the reason I say that is because the congressmen and the senators in Washington, along with the vice president and the whole staff down there, they have two things in mind. Number one is to raise as much money as they can to get reelected.
Of course.
I mean, they could care less about us. But what happens is the approval of Congress is, 7% or 8%? But when they go back home, people vote for him. And the reason they vote for him, they think, oh, he's going to write me a letter for my birthday, or he's going to write a letter for someone else. And they think that this congressperson or senator is doing something for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really not. I mean, the American public should take a look and see what they've really done. They haven't had a budget in how many years, and just this Obamacare goes through without them even reading about it. And that's why it's just, I'm so frustrated, not just with him, with the whole Congress.
Of course, you're right. You're 100% right. What they say versus what they do are polar opposites. What they say on the campaign trail, you would think there was a difference between Republicans and Democrats. What they do in Washington tells you they're Republicans and Demopublicans. There's no difference there. Now, if it does not come out, and boy, Phil, you give me hope. I'm gonna really believe in your theory there, because wouldn't that be wonderful? But if it does not come out while he's in office, do you see this coming out afterwards?
Oh, I listen, I know I'll be proven right, whether it's this year, next year, or 20 years from now, 30, I will be proven right, but it depends when it happens and what happens. I mean, the last word we were hearing is that his friends were building him a home in Hawaii, like a $10 million, I think a $10 million home or something in Hawaii, because that's where he was born, which is nonsense. You know, he's going to go off, and I think I had an argument with someone at a wedding about a month ago, and the person said to me, it was a black individual, but, you know, we're talking, sitting next to me, and he said that Obama will go down as the best two-term president in our history. And I said, I said, I beg to differ with you. Obama's going to go down as the worst president in our history, one term or two terms. I mean, he really is. I can't see the... the other thing I can see in history, when people look back at what went on during these 6 years to now and two more coming up, is how horrible he treated this country. And you know, his goal is, you know, to have the Middle East without Israel. His goal is to send us down the drain, and he's done everything. You know, we talk about if we have a attack on Syria, it's going to affect the oil prices jumping up. Well, how come we haven't done what we should be doing, and that's drilling here in the United States and drilling off the course? After that explosion in the Gulf, Obama stopped all drilling. I mean, now he's taking credit for the increased production of oil, because just so happened from the existing things, they've been getting more oil out of the ground. But we have enough resources in this country that we don't have to be dependent, but that's part of the game that's played, too.
It's
like the third world order, you know. I mean, they keep talking about that, but there's people out there that don't want us to move forward, and that's why one of these days there's going to be a revolution in this country. They keep saying about the Second Amendment, they keep saying if he can't get something through, they might sign some kind of treaty that the United Nations is putting forth. And I think if that happens, there'll be a civil war here in this country, and I hope not.
Yeah, I would see that. I wasn't thinking so much in any fallout to him either way, Phil, but the concern that I have is if this does come out in the relatively near future, you know, 50 years from now, it's very different, but, you know, in the next few, that invalidates everything that's been done to date.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I keep saying that, you know, that he's out of office and everything that he has done is
invalidated.
It's invalidated.
Yeah.
And also, what I want everyone out there to know, that since I filed the first lawsuit back in 2008, I have constantly said, Obama, prove me wrong, and I'll walk away. I'll close down the lawsuit. I'll walk away. Prove me wrong. And he hasn't done it because he can't do it. You know, I mean, he can't do it because he's a fraud. He's a phony. He's an imposter. I mean, he should be in jail. He really should.
And Raleigh, worse than the constitutional crisis, if he gets away with this, is that he will have set the precedent that you can be an illegal alien with all fake citizenship papers, play president, and nobody cares.
Well, you pretty much can. I mean, as it is now, you can be an illegal alien. They know it. You know, you probably just read the article about the IRS refuses to prosecute employers for using phony Social Security numbers on illegals.
Yep.
So, you know, it is endemic, and it does go down the food chain. And since we do not have the free press, well, it would be nice if we did, it really behooves every individual to be aware and to be calling their representatives and demanding this be an issue.
Yeah, my representative is Carolyn McCarthy, so
well,
back chance that I'll get anywhere with her.
Yeah, never mind. But you know, but in general, that people are awake and alert to this. Now, I have noticed you haven't updated ObamaCrimes.com in a while. Are you planning to get some stuff on that?
Yeah, we will. It's just frustrating right now.
Yes.
Maybe after I talk to Sheriff Joe, we'll
yes.
put some information up on there. But everything's there. You know, even though it's not updated for your listeners, if they would go to ObamaCrimes.com, you'll read it, and all our pleadings are there. Everything we've done is there. I mean, I really, I have been called the father of the birthers, and I don't mind that because whatever it is, you know, they keep saying, like, we're phonies. Well, the phonies are the ones in the power right now, and
yeah.
I thank what Carl, what he said here, that, you know, I would give credit for this one of these days, and
you will.
I don't need credit, but I would just love to be proven right.
Yes, for all of our sakes, you know. That...
You will be the one who woke us all up.
Yeah. All right, Carl, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you. Bye, Phil.
Right. Phil, so you're gonna try to get in touch with Joe and actually have a meeting come together. Anything else on the near horizon you're working on?
No, I got involved. I don't know your position on that. I got involved with the, we put up a website on Jane Fonda. I think it was absurd that they put her in that movie portraying Nancy Reagan. I don't know your position on that. And we have a website on that, fondaisatraitor.com. And we told people to protest and everything else. I just think it was absurd, and I think they put her in there on purpose to get some publicity about it, which get more people
yeah.
there. But I see it fell off in the second week. I don't know what happened here the third week. I haven't seen the results yet. But I get involved where I believe in something, and I go forth with it, and my record is my record, and I stand beside it, you know, behind whatever I've said.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you put that site together, because to me it is a slap in the face to people who willingly went over, regardless of what they might have thought of the war. They did their duty. Not all of them who went over were on the side of going over, but we were still, as a nation, largely unaware that our government would do the wrong thing. And there are many people who believe strongly that my government's called me, I'm going, and she effectively spit in their faces.
Right, and we did lose over 50,000 men and
yes.
women.
And injured and maimed a number that dwarfs that.
Right, and for her to sit on the anti-aircraft attack down in the United States, she should not have had the good life she's had after that. She really should have been tried. But I think that's why with Snowden, I think Snowden has been labeled by the White House as a traitor real quick, or committing treason. My thoughts are the reason for that is the fact that I think they're afraid that he's going to be releasing stuff on Obama. Remember, he might
yeah.
have stuff on Obama,
oh,
too.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that for a minute. And I'm grateful for what he did. He hasn't really, for many of us, given us true revelations yet, because we've always suspected, but what he's given us is proof.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
that's
but, I mean,
important. So,
yeah,
yes.
But look how fast he was labeled a person on treason. But look at what happened with... Jane Fonda, nothing.
Right, right,
so,
exactly.
And why over the years? I mean, it's coming out like any military family in this country, which probably relates to 150 to 200 million people must have contact, you know, somewhat in their family or relative served. I don't see how any of these people could go see this movie or do anything to honor her, and I think it's a total disgrace.
Well, you know, I don't know that they did, and that's one of the interesting things. Hollywood's ideology is such that they were fine with this, but I'm not sure the box office will reflect that.
Right. I think it's going down. I'll be happy if it, you know, I think they were assuming it's going to make lots and lots of money, and I think what has hurt it is the fact that she's the traitor, and she's in there even for a short segment.
Yeah, well, and when you're talking about a movie that has the political overtones that it does, to shove it in someone's face like that, again, I think that's a misstep, because I think Hollywood might have its ideology, but ultimately they want to run successful movies. But I don't think they understand the heartland of America will never be forgiving on this. As to why she, quote unquote, got away with it, you said it. Snowden's got the goods, God knows on who. Her, on the other hand, was just traitorous for a cause rather than possessing of any knowledge that they were afraid.
Right.
So, well, sad day. Sad
day. A pleasure speaking to you, and I'm not shy about speaking anything.
Well,
so
we will do it again, and thank you on Labor Day for taking out an hour with us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and it's ObamaCrimes.com or FondaIsATraitor.com.
All right, I'll add that. I've got the Obama crimes on Raleigh.net on the homepage, but I will add FondaIsATraitor.com. Keep it up. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All righty. So, Phil Berg, I will, after the show is over, put this on the replays for the night. I'll have it on the downloads at RaleighStream.net as well if you want to download and keep it. So, always a pleasure to talk to Phil. 610-640-6400, 610-640-6400. We'll get to Obama and the longshoremen. Yep. Obamacare, 40,000 longshoremen quit the AFL-CIO over that. All right, well, I see blew the break again. So, well, I'm famous for that. So we'll just say in moments we'll be back to the Raleigh James Show. I will, at the moment, tout the Seacrane Company. Everybody listening to the show is listening online in some way, shape, or form. Well, if you're at home with a computer, oh, stop that. Get yourself a Wi-Fi radio. Not that there's anything wrong with listening on a computer, but it just might be inconvenient. When you get a Wi-Fi radio, you can listen wherever you are. You can listen by your bedside, whatever you're doing, just like it's any radio station. Because what Wi-Fi radios do is they take every stream online, pretty much, and turn them into radio stations on a super radio that, yes, has buttons and knobs and a clock, an alarm, a sleep timer, all the things you would want, a remote control with 99 presets. The difference between your AM, FM, and a Wi-Fi radio is now you're going to get, 16 to 20,000 stations. I'm not exaggerating on those numbers. Certainly over 16,000 on Receiva. You add some of the other ways that you can listen, for instance, Live 365 and others, and you will discover it probably is upwards of 20,000. So bottom line is this is, it's just, if you're a radio fan, this is what you've been waiting for. What it is, because you've been saying, I don't have anything I want to hear. Oh, not only my show, you'll hear everything. Now, of course, if you're already savvy and you're listening online, you probably know that. But if you don't have a Wi-Fi radio, you don't know the convenience and the difference this will be. There's many from which to choose, but the CC Wi-Fi is my absolute fave. Bob Crane had a hand in designing it, which is nice. But in addition to it, it's lightweight, easy to use. It's got a nice dial light, which you can decide how bright you want it. I use it as my bedside clock in addition to that, and it works. $99.95, if you mention the coupon code James, you get 5% off whatever you order anytime at the Seacrane Company. You can either put it in the promo code online at seacrane.com, or you can give them a call tomorrow. Yeah, they'll be back in the office. They'd love to talk to you. 888-444-7993, 888-444-7993. Again, tell them, James, you'll get that 5% off. If you just want to call and get a catalog, if you like to hold catalogs in your hands, yeah, well, they'll send you one free of charge. So, seacrane.com, just like it sounds. But if you go to Raleigh.net, you will be able to go link right through, because right on the homepage is one of the first things on the right-hand corner you'll see is a little box for the Seacrane Company. I swear by them. They're just terrific. And not only Wi-Fi radios, you'll find something you just got to have. Maybe it's just a pillow speaker. I love those. Oh, check them out. Seacrane.com or Raleigh.net or 888-444-7993. And, of course, you got to tell them that Raleigh sent you.